All right, so my name is Ermila Wadnekar. I'm the manager of group and outreach programs. Like Mandy, I also probably have the longest title at my museum. Often that means we wear a lot of hats. So the outreach programs are what I do. The group programs are, they also include our scout programs as well as our overnight camp-ins. And I think the reason they're all lumped together is because we often use the same instructors for all of these. That's all I can gather. So there's my information. It'll also be at the end if you wanna contact me about anything I talk about today. And I have been doing outreach programs for the majority of my career, which is about 10 years. I was in New Jersey for a long time, traveled all over New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, doing outreach programs for a science center up there. And then I moved down to Naples to do science programming at a children's museum there. Now I'm in Tampa. So we call our outreach program MOSI in Motion. So MOSI is the Museum of Science and Industry here in Tampa. A little bit of history about MOSI itself. We've been at our location right now, which is by USF, about 25 minutes north of here. We've been there for a really long time. I get different numbers, been through many different phases, maybe called different things, but it's been there for about 33, 34 years. We're looking to move downtown to this area in about 5 years. So right now we're actually closed for renovation and we're moving to a smaller campus, which is gonna be really nice because it'll be one building instead of four. So last year, FY 2016, we reached a little more than 20,000 people in our outreach programs. We traveled to 10 surrounding counties, but we're not limited to them. We just travel, whoever books us, we travel to them. And we offer 10 unique programs, and they change every year. Some don't work out as well. Some are outdated, so we replenish them. We revamp them. We replace them with new things that are coming. Sometimes we get grant funding to develop new programs, so we'll do that as well. So they're always changing. We do hire staff with diverse backgrounds. We get a lot of our staff from USF, which is awesome. I especially love hiring staff that not only do they like what they're learning, but they love learning lots of other things. So working at a science museum, we teach all different things. So I love the staff people who are doing their PhD in something, but they also miss physics. They also miss biology. So they love being able to tap into their background in that and be able to teach. Our outreach program, I like to say it's 90% education and 10% marketing. So we also do community festivals, community events. We'll do STEAM or STEM nights at schools. During those opportunities, we also market our programs and our brand. We want people to come into the museum to experience our exhibits as well. But the majority of the outreach programs that we take to schools, we spend about 30 seconds of the first of the session doing some, you know, this is what MOSI is, come visit us. Okay, let's get down to do our activities for the day. So that's kind of a brief overview. We have 6 different classroom workshops that we offer. So they range in topic from robotics to chemistry. We have a rockets program. We have a mobile star lab that we take where we can do astronomy in the classroom. So those are classroom workshops. So they're about a period long, so about 45 minutes. And generally when we go to a school, we'll do an entire grade in that day. We have assembly programs that their main goal is just to get kids really, really excited by doing larger than life demos in like an assembly type setting in a cafeteria, multi-purpose room, auditorium, whatever they have. We also do community events, like I said. We just started this last year where we had a lot of requests for having our instructors come and do hands-on activities at a STEM night or a STEAM night, a science night, science fair project night, whatever it might be. So far, we've just kind of been doing whatever topic they want us to do. In the future, we're probably gonna have kind of a, here's the 4 topics we're offering this year, and if you want us to do another one, we'd be happy to, just as long as you let us know in advance, we can develop things. We also have 2 outdoor education programs that are pretty popular. One is where we visit a cave site, which is about an hour and 15 minutes north of here in Brooksville. And the kids about 45 kids at a time. We take them through these caves. There's four or five different caves there. Often it's kind of the first time they might be hiking. It's definitely the first time that they are experiencing what a cave is. And you'd really, really get to see that they don't get a lot of physical education even in schools anymore. Or even like playing on a jungle gym. They're like, a lot of them just don't even know how to hoist themselves up. So those are very necessary. The other one that we do is we visit Fort DeSoto Beach, and we do some marine science with them on the beach. We do some dissections, they'll do some netting, we'll observe some plant and animal life using some digital microscopes that we have. And then we also do grant or corporate funded programs as we get them throughout the year. So here are some things that we found make a successful program. So this picture is a program called Mission Nutrition that we did, funded by Mosaic, which funds a lot of our outreach programs. So this particular picture is about them doing MyPlate. So it's kind of an introduction. They generally already know what proteins, vegetables, things are. It's kind of whetting their appetite, so to speak, for the upcoming activities. So the things on the right are things that we try to incorporate into every single program that we create. So we always make sure it has hands-on activities. We try to make it standards aligned. We don't make it standards based, but we do find every single possible standard that our program could cover, and that way the teacher gets rationale to have this program in the school. We make them age appropriate. We have many different programs that span different ages. But we try to have enough materials in our kit so that if we encounter, if we are prepared to do third grade, but maybe that last class is a sixth grade class instead, happens all the time, we're able to adjust the level of the content of the activities. We try to incorporate teamwork and cooperation among the kids as much as possible. Sometimes they already have groups that they work with, sometimes they don't, but since that's a real life thing, that science is done in teams, engineering is done in teams. We try to have that be a big part of almost every program that we do. We try to make it interactive and engaging. New and memorable, we really want them to experience something that they've never experienced before, and we want them that experience to be memorable for them. Often when we see these kids, this is the only time we're seeing them. We may never see them again. If we do the program again next year, it'll be for the same grade, so they'll already have gone up a year. So we try to make whatever we do as memorable and fun as possible. The last one I think is the hardest one. We try to make it as learner-led as possible. All the kids have different experiences. They're coming from different places, and what we're taking in a kit is going to be the same thing no matter where we go. So we try to have at least one or two things in there that are learner generated. So they're contributing the ideas, they might be being innovative, they might be brainstorming, something like that. So this is a program where we had the kids, we worked with PwC, which is a financial firm. They wanted us to do financial literacy for kids. What we ended up doing is creating a space mission. So through that, they learned budgeting, they learned careers and salaries, they learned marketing and advertising, and then their project was to do a prototype of a space mission. So we incorporate all of those things into this program. I'll say this was a tough program to start because they wanted us to do four sessions with the same kids, and that's a hard ask for any teacher to give up four periods of instruction. So we started small. We got five schools who were interested in doing it. We did really well the first year, and the next year, those five schools were definitely on board, and we were able to have those five schools kind of recommend five more schools that we could approach who would be interested in doing it because it was a recommended program. So that's how we did that one. This is our cave program. So this is a group of kids just coming out of a cave. It's in the background there. So this is one of the new and memorable experiences for our third grade nutrition program. We took a fetal pig and we had it pre-dissected, so kids were able to see the digestive system of the pig. So this was standards aligned, but it was also something new. This is not something the kids would get to see until at least high school, if even that. So this was definitely memorable, and I wouldn't say it was 100% enjoyable for all of them, but none of them forgot about it, at least not the smell. So, and they were invited to look at it. They didn't have to look at it. We gave them a lot of, we told them what it was going to be, what it might look like, and they were invited to come up. If they didn't want to come up, they didn't have to. But that was definitely, whether they liked it or not, they definitely remembered it, because on every single survey that we had, or at least 95% of the surveys, the pig was on there. Whether it was their favorite part or their least favorite part, it was on there. They remembered it. So that was kind of a fun thing. That was a risk. I knew it was going to be a risk, but I was like, let's do it. Let's see what happens. We have funding for it, so we were able to incorporate the supplies into that. And this is a group of kids making a dinner plate that matches with the My Plate diagram. And this, we try to incorporate things like this in there, because we have our normal kits that have our hamburgers and pizzas and hot dogs, but we know these kids eat different things at home, and we want them to think about the food that they eat at home and how that relates to nutrition. So we wanted to have them kind of bring that into the experience. So this is one of our learner-led portions of a program. So like I said, we've built some pretty successful partnerships. With PWC, we did a program called Down to the Numbers. We did a space mission for middle school kids, and we did an invention for high school kids. And the kids had to work in groups to put together this project. So it started with brainstorming and design, which is something that MOSI is part of. It's part of MOSI's mission, is innovation. And then we added budgeting, so they were able to get a bunch of prototyping supplies, and they had to stick to a given budget. They had to do some advertising, so they created some commercials. We also had some investors in the room, which were basically the adults in the room. The adults were given funds, like $5,000, and they were able to visit each team and give them whatever funding they thought they deserved, kind of like Shark Tank, very much like Shark Tank. And so that also made the kids try harder. This was a four-session program, so we visited them 4 days, like either every Monday for 4 weeks or like Monday through Thursday for a week. And I'd say by like the end of the second session, we had them. We had them hooked. They were invested in the program. And they were definitely working through their issues, whatever those issues might be. They might have been unmotivated. They might have not worked well with their teams. Whatever was going on, by the end of the second day, I'd say about 99% of the students were invested. And then the last day was presenting. And so we had them present their project. We had other groups give feedback, just like what would happen in a college or higher education setting. So that was one of our more successful multi-touch programs. Destination STEAM was funded by Mosaic. That is also, that program has changed and has had different flavors each year. Last year we did it for third grade, and we had them do 4 different interactions with us. So 2 of them were sort of our normal outreach programs, where we take a kit to them and we do a 45-minute session with them. One session was where we set up some stations in their cafeteria on an evening, and we invited those students as well as their siblings and family members for a family science night. And then the last part, which was the most exciting, they got to come to MOSI for a field trip. The geographic area that we do these is very rural. It's about 1.5 to 2 hours away from Tampa, so they would never get to come here any other time. So the funding paid for transportation, admission, things like that. A program that we did with TBRPC, which is the Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council. It's called Marine Gang. So we've been doing this for many years. It is a water conservation and stormwater pollution effort. So the program that we've been doing is geared towards pre-K through grade 2, and we have instructors dressed in like mascot characters that are like a shrimp, a fish, a dolphin, and all of these characters are somehow affected by pollution. And then we have the kids kind of say, oh, where did this plastic come from? Why do you think this is in its mouth? We have gotten this funding for many years now, and this year is the first year that we were able to use a portion of this funding for older kids. So we're going to be creating a grade 3 through 5 program where it's more like a lab type program. So they'll use microscopes to look at plastic threads that might be in the water. They'll talk about innovative ideas that might keep garbage out of our storm drains. So it'll be a little bit more advanced than this. And we hope to reach the same kids that we reached with the other Marine Gang. So they might have seen the Marine Gang program 2 or 3 years ago. We'll be able to kind of touch back on that and have them do some more science. And then in Polk County, which is about an hour east of here, right before you hit Orlando, we've been doing our robot program for Title I schools for 3rd through 5th grade as well. So that's one of our newer partnerships. We've been doing that. This is our second year doing it. And we've reached, I believe last year we reached 15 schools. This year we're going to reach 16 schools. Hopefully next year we'll reach all of the Title I schools. That would be awesome. So here's some pictures from each of those programs. These are the brainstorming pictures. We have them also use a 3D design application. These are the high school students to brainstorm and design their prototype. They're using a green screen and some random props to create their commercial. This is hilarious to watch. I love it. And they also kind of get used to not making everything perfect because they get, 30, 40 minutes to do everything. And it's more about the process of learning and not the outcome, which is why they're hilarious. This is also, we had one of the things that PwC wanted to do with us was to have an opportunity for their staff to come and volunteer. And like Mandy said, there's a lot of barriers to that. So this high school was very open to having the employees come. We had maybe 5 employees for the first session, and then it petered off. So often it's much more helpful to have the employees be consultants for us. Like, we might send them, here's our curriculum, here's our project, what do you think? How can you integrate some more real life situations into this? Are we on the right track for that? So that's a really great way to use professionals. So this is where they got a budget and they had a store of materials and they had to build things, their prototypes using these materials. We had them balance their budget to make sure they were using the right amount of money. Teachers really liked this concept, even if they're not going to be teaching about financial literacy or space. But they really liked, hey, if I have the kids use tape on a budget, I'm not going to have to buy lots of rolls of tape every year. So they're like, yeah, just, charge them per foot or for whatever currency they use in their classrooms, A lot of them use behavior type things for currency. So a lot of teachers really, really liked that idea. And then the last part of it was we looked up, we actually spent some time looking at their project, their specific project, and we researched. So if we were meeting with them on Thursday and they had started their projects, by next Thursday we would have researched some of the careers and salaries and educational backgrounds for the careers that those particular projects might need. And the students would then hire a team. So they would look at all of the things and say, okay, if I have this much money to spend on salaries, which people am I going to hire? So this is kind of our motivation to have them explore higher education, master's degrees, PhDs, associate's degrees, whatever they felt they wanted to do. And we evaluated where they wanted to be at the beginning of the program versus where they wanted to be at the end. And we definitely saw an increase. We saw that a lot of people who said, I don't want to go to college at all, later realized, okay, maybe it's something that I can think about since they do make more money and get to do cool stuff. So for Destination STEAM, last year we reached 1,400 third graders in Manatee, DeSoto, Hardy, and Polk counties, and 250 adults, including the teachers, the chaperones that came on the field trip, as well as the parents who came to Science Night. And these are the four interactions that we had with them. And it was one of the things that was great was that our instructors and myself, I also teach a lot, we don't get to see the same kid twice often. So when we did this program, we tried to send the same two instructors to every single one. We tried to have the same instructors on their field trip to give them their end of program survey. So at least we were creating that kind of relationship and trust so that they would know, they would have a little bit more buy-in into the longer program and not think it was just sort of individual sections. So these are just some pictures from Science Night. This is our mobile star lab that we set up in their cafeteria. These are some rockets that the kids were launching. So they got to make and design their own rockets while they were in class. At the Science Night, they were able to bring their rockets. They were able to show their parents and siblings what they did. And then everyone was able to make them together if they chose to. And then we also had some pre-made ones. If they just wanted to have fun, that was fine. These are some of the kids from Family Science Night. These are some pictures from Marine Gang. So we would go into a school and set up in a big room. As you can see here, we have some trash in the middle of the stage. There's a pollution monster costume that one of the instructors wears and trashes the stage while the instructor is kind of off stage, so the kids see it. The instructor comes back and is like, what? There's garbage on the floor, and the kids try to explain who it is. And so throughout the program, the pollution monster pops his or her head every now and then, and the kids get super excited about trying to catch the monster. And so there's a turtle. We talk about how the turtles are impacted in the Tampa Bay Estuary. That's a dolphin. Yeah, dolphins. This is a pollution monster. So at the very end, we talk to the pollution monster. The students tell the pollution monster what some expected behavior should be, and they help him clean up the mess that he made at the beginning of the program. So this is our robot roundup program. So we use some fairly advanced Lego EV3s, which I think on the box itself it says for ages 10 and up, but we've kind of streamlined the program a little bit and we do it for grades 3 and up. So we find that we used to have a program where they built robots, but we've changed that, so instead of building them, we have them pre-built and they program them. So we find that that's a more even playing field between girls and boys. A lot of boys have experience with Lego, so they tend to know how to build them, but with programming, we find that it's sort of even, and they have about equal, which is usually no experience with programming. And so we have them program the robots. We have them do it as a class, so we do the same thing. And then towards the end, we have them change up their programming, so they're adding their own decisions in there. So their robot can do something that they would like them to do. And they always race them. Always race them. So it's cool. It's fun. So here's how we make our programs impactful. Multiple interactions add depth. We don't always get to do it, but when we do, we try to capitalize on it. We try to build a relationship with the students and teachers by sending the same staff. We try to reach out to the same schools every year when we're doing grant programs so that we build an audience and a relationship with those teachers and administrators. And then in turn, they send us letters of support that we can use to get more funding. So we try to have that community going. So that's kind of what we do at MOSI. I know a lot of other museums and informal science education places might do something very similar or might do something completely different. So I would encourage you to reach out if that's something that you want to do. Reach out to the education department, because they're always going to want to work with anyone on new programs. Does anyone have any questions for me? Yeah. MOSI is very deeply rooted in the community, so wherever I go, people say, hey, I went there as a kid, or I remember doing this, this, and this as a kid. So we see that informally a lot. We haven't done a formal evaluation of that. It's kind of hard to do, but we're trying to, like with our Marine Gang program, since we've been reaching K through 2, for so many years, we're trying to upgrade that to 3 through 5. Hopefully the next year or the year after, we'll do a middle school version, and we'll reach out to the same schools, and we're forming like a pathway almost. It's hard to do, but we're trying. And we can never do it for everyone, so we always have to pick whether we want to do it for third grade for 15 schools, or third, fourth, and fifth grade for 5 schools. So that's the hard decisions to make. Any other questions? All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.